John 1, starting at verse 19. You read in the King James the word record, witness, testimony, but it all comes from the same root word, martureo, to bear witness, to give testimony. So if yours at times says record or testimony or witness, it's all the same word. So this is so great a cloud of witnesses, people that give their testimonies. Verse 19, and this is the witness of John. Verse 34, and I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. This is the first witness. Now, turn to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Our Savior is conversing with Nicodemus, and he says to him in verse 10, art thou the teacher in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we know, and bear witness of that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Chapter 5, verse 32. It is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You have sent unto John, and he hath borne witness of me. Verse 36. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father that sent me, he hath borne witness of me. Verse 39. You search the scriptures because ye think that in them you have eternal life, and these are they that bear witness of me. Chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye know not whence I come or whither I go. And now, chapter 19, verse 32. The Jews want the legs of these crucified ones to be broken so that they can be taken down, having died, taken down from their crosses. The soldiers therefore came and brake the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with him, our Lord. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Howbeit, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and straightway there came out blood and water. And he that hath seen hath borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you also may believe. For these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And chapter 21, verse 24. This is the disciple that beareth witness of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. And there are many other things also which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that should be written. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the way that you permit us to grow. At first, a simple message is presented to us, and then, as we grow, we understand more and more about this message of which we've sung since children, lived with, and contemplate again this day. We are thankful, our Father, that you have in your scriptures shown us the significance of this message which we have believed. We desire, our Father, to grasp even more today its greatness, its divinity. Let us understand, Father, that the things that we have read come from heaven. Now it's told us that men are of the earth, earthy. They speak of the earth. That is all they know about. But we are thankful also, our God, that we have a message from heaven, and we know who brought it down from heaven. So let that heavenly message work in us and make us citizens of heaven, our God. That is thy desire. You know our sins. We confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse and empower that this message might not be word only, but in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, and prepare the hearts of those who are listening that they may know that the word of God has been spoken. Bless us this day, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. In Hebrews 12, it speaks about having, therefore, so great a cloud of witnesses. And then an exhortation is given us as to what the outcome is to be because of the great cloud of witnesses brought to our attention in Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and there are so many witnesses that finally, the author says this, time would fail me. At times, we search and search for one scripture to verify some point that we are trying to impress upon people, like this one. Suppose I told you that out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Give me two scriptures that tell us that a prophet arises out of Galilee. You may be able to find one in the book of Kings that tells us that Jonah was out of Galilee. And so at times we must search so diligently to have one witness to verify something that we are saying. That was the challenge to Nicodemus. Out of Galilee ariseth no prophet, and yet I can show you one. But if you said, give me a dozen witnesses, I'm not able to do it. But when it comes to faith, then the author of Hebrews says, time would fail me. And in like manner, in the Gospel of John, I have brought to your attention the abundance of the witnesses that he brings to our attention. And last of all, in chapters 19 and 21, I read to you of his own personal witness, and this is the way he puts it, in the Gospel and in his epistle, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. So, on occasion, there are witnesses that will give you hearsay. I have heard, it has been said. But in John's Gospel, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. And that is the importance of the witnesses that John tells us about. I mentioned this, and let me tell you again, I mentioned this to a dear soul that was troubled because modern day critics were attacking him now and trying to take away the word of God in which he had believed since he was a young boy. He said, they are telling me that I cannot depend on this book. It's not historical. It's symbolical. They are taking this book away from me, and I have no one to answer my question. I put it this way. I said, suppose you knew a man who have lived with the Lord Jesus, have been trained by him for over 3 years, at the Last Supper, had placed his head upon his breast, and that man wrote down his witness concerning Christ. And then, 2,000 years later, you have a man that comes along and says, what John said about Jesus is not to be believed. What you are to believe about Jesus is what I write unto you. I said, whom would you believe? And he laughed and he said, by the man that had lived with him, that had his head on his breast. And I said, what would you say about those other men that were trying to discount the testimony of John? And they hesitated. I said, let me answer it for you. They are fools, because the Lord Jesus, and that's the only time I would call a man a fool, because the Lord Jesus says, fools and blind. And so any man who would say, I know more 2,000 years removed from the life of Christ than a man who lived with him 3 years, was trained with him, had his head upon his bosom, I know more than that man. I say, if you listen to those today, 2,000 years removed, then you are a fool listening to fools. He said, I need no more. He said, that's all that I need. It is so elementary. And what we have, and the scriptures that I've read to you, are witnesses who can say this, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We speak that which we know, and do bear witness of that which we have seen. And so the witnesses and the testimonies that I told you about this morning are from those that who were contemporaries of Christ, heard Christ, saw Christ, had the Spirit of God within them, witnessing to the truth of what their eyes were seeing. Because at times some saw, and they were so filled with Satan that they could not believe. When the Lord Jesus performed miracles, they said, he does this by the power of Beelzebub. It's hell that's enabling him to perform these miracles. But there are others like John, who, indwelt by the Spirit of God, not only tell the truth, but when they see it, they are able to recognize it. And why I read to you about John's testimony this morning is because John's testimony is greater than that of any other testimony we have within our grasp. You say now, how can you say that? You've told us in past weeks, because in past weeks, I've been dwelling on these words. The Savior said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I told you about the testimonies of men, whom men said the Son of Man was. And the Lord Jesus said, whom do you say that I am? And in the other weeks, I've told you whom the disciples said Jesus was, putting it in the King James language. Who am I? I want you to tell me. And what I did was to read the testimonies of certain ones, such as Peter, who said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he said in John 6, when the Savior said, would you go also go away? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we have believed and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You say, that's a great testimony. That is abundance. And John the Baptist, I told you from John 1 and 3, the abundance of the testimony of John the Baptist. And yet I tell you that the testimony of John, of which I read this morning, is greater and fuller and surpasses that of any other testimony in the Word of God. You say, how? The Savior said, whom do you say that I am? And I told you who Peter said he was, and I told you who Martha said he was, and what she believed, and what John the Baptist. You say, yes, and I challenge you to give me any word that John, the beloved apostle, spoke concerning Christ. Tell me. Tell me his words as you tell me Peter's words, as you tell me John's words. What I do is this. I hold up his entire gospel and say, read it. That is the testimony of John, because it is greater than that of the Baptist. Why? Because John records for us that testimony. He has comprehended the testimony of the Baptist, and he makes it his own testimony. And at the same time, he has recorded for us the testimony of Peter, to whom shall we go, thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and are sure. He has recorded that for us, and he has made Peter's testimony his testimony. And you think through his gospel, and he has committed to memory all the testimonies of all the men of whom he writes, has put them down in his gospel. And his gospel is the embracing of all the testimonies of all those of whom he writes. And now he says, this is my testimony to you. You say, then John's testimony is not a sentence here, a sentence there, as you gave me from the Baptist and from Simon Peter, but his testimony is the entire gospel concerning Christ. Yes. And his testimony includes the testimony of all of these others of whom I told you in past weeks. So that's good. I know what I believe about Jesus. Well, do you know what Peter believes about Jesus? No, but John says, I do. Do you know what the Baptist believes about Jesus? No, but John says, I do. And you read through his gospel, and he tells us what Nicodemus thought about Jesus. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Then he knew the testimony of Nicodemus. He knows Joseph of Arimathea. Every man of whom he writes, the man had to have all of this in his mind. He had to have digested it, and now he's able to set before you the testimonies of all these men. And therefore, when you ask me about the Lord Jesus, and I tell you what I think of Jesus, it is because I have digested the testimony that John gave in his gospel, what Matthew told me, what Mark, what Luke, what Paul. That is my testimony. And this is what John has done for us. And why it is of such great importance is that he was an eyewitness. He saw and he heard. I told you on Wednesday nights that Simon Peter's witness is great, because he says in his second epistle, we were with him on the holy mount. John could say, yes, Peter, I was there. He does not give us the Mount of Transfiguration testimony. He gives us a picture of Christ even greater than that on the Mount of Transfiguration. You say, how can that be? In this wise. For a moment, the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration was seen glorious before their eyes. But John tells us, and no one else tells us this, the Savior said, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. No one tells us of his glory that was equal to the Father's before the world was. You say, no, they do not tell us of that glory. And not only so, but nobody tells you this, that when you read in Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and you hear these angelic beings crying, holy, 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 when you see heaven adoring God there. John tells us in chapter 12 that Isaiah saw his glory and spoke of Christ. No one gives that witness, though John does not say, now I'm telling you this. He has written it in his gospel, and all that you know of the Lord Jesus in that gospel that you find nowhere else, John says, now this is my witness. This is my testimony. Now, set aside my argument that John's testimony, witness of Christ, is greater than that of any other. You say, what about Matthew? Does Matthew ever tell you about the pre-existence of Christ? You say, I can't recall. No. Does he give you the upper room discourse? You say, no. And I could go on and on. As precious as the Gospel of Matthew is, you must understand that John supersedes Matthew, Mark, and Luke because he tells us a few things that are recorded in those Gospels, but then he gives us an abundance of material, and this is the way he puts it, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, because Matthew was not in those special places that John was. Peter and James were, but John was there personally. He knows everything that Matthew knows, and he knows more besides. And greater than that, he had a discernment, an intuition about the things of Christ, his person, his feelings, that the others were ignorant of. You are much a child of God as I am, but it does not mean that you have my intuition. You are much a child of God as I am, but it does not mean that I have your intuition. Each one has special abilities from God. For instance, when the empty tomb was visited, Peter was there, and when he looked in, he knew no more then than before he came. But John looked in, and he said, he's risen from the dead. Can you imagine such an intimacy that he could look at the evidence of an empty tomb and say, he's alive. He knew it then. And at the same time, in chapter 21, when they're fishing on the shore and they're looking on the seashore and a figure is there talking to them. And John says, it's Jesus. He sees immediately. He understands that it's Jesus. And I tell you that God has imparted to this man a special testimony concerning the Lord Jesus. And finally, at the last, and chapters 19 and 21 tell us, he says this, and he that hath seen hath borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knoweth that what he says is true. And he says, I am witnessing these things that you also may believe. Understand that John's entire gospel is his testimony concerning Christ. And he says, he that hath seen is bearing witness. And his witness is true. He knows that it's true. And he's bearing witness to these things that you also may believe. Notice the word also. He said, I saw these things and I believe. He said, now I am writing these things. This is my testimony, my inheritance that I pass on to mankind is this gospel. This is my testimony, and I pass it on to you, not as an account of history that we might know of the past, though what greater account of history is there? But he says, I leave this to you that you may believe. And so John's purpose in giving his testimony is not simply that we may know the past facts of the life of Jesus of Nazareth, but that we may know those facts, that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we may have life in his name. He gives his testimony that you may live. And then he tells us in his first epistle, writing to those who are God's children, he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And so if you are lost, if you are a sinner, John says, I'm witnessing that you may believe, that you may believe and receive eternal life. And now that you have believed and you have eternal life, John says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. How noble a testimony coming from this man. that you who are lost may believe and be saved, that you who are saved may have fellowship, the same fellowship that John and the apostles had with Christ, that you may have fellowship with us. He alone could say, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, in that intimate way that He had personally. But, though that was His alone, He can say, I am telling of it. That which I have seen and heard, I declare unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And that would have been my privilege had I lived in those days. Had Christ died and gone to heaven before I saw Him. If I had listened to John and the apostles, I could say, that which they have seen and heard, they have declared unto me, that I may have fellowship with them. And with whom do they have fellowship? With the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, John has told the same thing that Jesus told to Thomas. When Thomas looked at Him and said, my Lord and my God, the Savior said, Thomas, you have believed because you've seen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And John says, now, you haven't seen, but I am giving you this testimony. I am writing these things down. I who saw and heard, this is my testimony that you also may believe. And so Thomas saw and believed. John saw and believed. And he says, now, I'm writing down these things which I heard and saw that you may believe. And thank God, His testimony has reached me, and His testimony has reached millions since it was written and passed. And I challenge you to show me authenticity from any gospel other than John's. The only thing I can think of is this. Except you be converted and become as little children, you say, yes, that's fine. And perhaps this one, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Beautiful portions. And you could read such things as, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Yes. But tell me where you're going to find this. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, why, I think that verse, yes. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. Yes. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that... Yes. He that believeth on the Son... Yes. Well, now, what gospel is used more for the conversion of souls than any other? You say, why? Why, John's gospel. Yes. And his epistle for assurance. And thank God that the very purpose that he lays before us as to why his gospel was written, why his testimony was given, has been fulfilled. And therefore, John's testimony is the combination of all testimonies because it is the testimony of Christ himself. I challenge you to show me anywhere in any gospel other than John's that our Savior ever called Himself the Son of God. You're not going to be able to find it. He calls God His Father. But you find in John 5 and chapter 11, just to mention two, the Savior calls Himself the Son of God. He says, the hour cometh in which the dead, the ones that are in the tomb, shall hear the voice of the Son of God. He calls Himself the Son of God. And in chapter 11, when Lazarus is dead, he says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. John's the only one who puts down in plain language that Jesus said, I am the Son of God. Now, there are many other things that Jesus inferred, such as this. He called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. But John tells us that in chapter 5, that is what is so important, making himself equal with God. And only in John's gospel is he called God. Tell me anywhere in any gospel that Jesus is called God other than John's gospel. You say, why? He's not called. Of course not. But John says at the first, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is our Savior to John? He is the eternal Word. He is God. The same was in the beginning with God. John tells us that. Where do you read that any apostle calls Jesus God? You say, Thomas, when he saw our Savior, said, my Lord and my God. And John tells us the testimony of all of these other men, things that you would never know. He gives us his testimony, and his testimony includes the testimony of all the others. In chapter 5, he gives us a little summary of Christ and the testimonies, because Christ is the most attested figure in history. He says this, you sent unto John, and John gave you his testimony. He said, the Father hath borne witness of me. He said, my works bear witness of me. He said, you search the Scriptures, and they bear witness of me. And the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, I bear witness of myself. John is the gospel of testimony, the gospel of witness. And what he has done for us is to take the testimonies of all of these important personages, all of the works, the miracles that the Lord Jesus did, and only one miracle in John's gospel do you find in the other gospels. The feeding of the 5,000 is the one miracle that you have in all the gospels. But tell me, where do you read of the water turned into wine? You say, why, John's gospel. And the nobleman's son, you say, why, John's gospel. And the man born blind, you say, that's the one, that special one in John chapter 9. Yes, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, you say, in John's gospel. The miraculous draught of fishes, you say, in John's gospel. The miracle he performed after he was raised from the dead. And John says, I've selected these miracles for you. He says, why, he did so many things. Why, if they were all written in a book, the world could not contain the books that should be written. But he tells us this. He said, I could tell you ever so much more. He said, but I'm going to tell you this much. To think that he has taken 21 chapters and he could have given us enough to fill the world with information. But what he has given us, he says, but in chapter 20, he said, many other miracles, signs did Jesus, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. He writes his gospel for the specific purpose of having those that are in darkness to come into the light, those that are dead to receive life, for those who are ignorant of Christ to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that having confessed that, to have life in his name. And so, if you ask me, who gives the greatest testimony of Christ? I say John does, because in his gospel is combined all the testimonies, the great testimonies that the others tell us nothing of or tell us little of, but John gives those testimonies. And then he in boldness but humility says this, and he that hath seen these things bears witness, and his witness is adequate, and his witness is true. And he says, having said that, I want you to believe that you might have life in his name. John has given his testimony. Believe it, and have life in Christ's name. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for the faithfulness of this man and the testimony that he gives. Father, our souls have thrilled. And simply to think, if this gospel were taken from us and from our minds removed all the precious things that are treasured there, how impoverished would we be? but our Father, they are there. And we have used his gospel to believe. And we have used his epistles to have fellowship and to learn of Christ and be warned of the many false prophets that have gone out into the world. We thank you for the testimony of every one of your servants, for John the Baptist, for Peter, for all the apostles. But we thank you especially at this time for John. May the purpose of his testimony